Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have seen the classic Hollywood trope. This trope of someone falling off of a cliff and yet somehow they're able to hang on to something for dear life. And then you have another person on top of that cliff reach out their hand and say, "Grab me. I got you." And then that person hanging off the cliff says, "I can't do it. I'm too nervous. You can't lift me up." And the person who's reaching out with his hand says, "Trust me. I got you." And so the man on the cliff reaches out. He grabs that hand and he's lifted up to safety. It's a classic Hollywood trope. But could that classic Hollywood trope apply to us Christians in our relationship with Christ? Well, in one aspect, absolutely not. Because by nature, we were never clinging to Christ. By nature, we didn't want to cling to Christ. We were only clinging on to the devil and his temptations dragging us to hell. But God, purely out of his grace, reached out and grabbed us and lifted us to salvation. And there he has promised, "I will cling on to you forever." But does that mean that we could never fall away from faith and lose our salvation? No. Even though Christ has promised that nothing will separate us from him, the only thing, the only one who separates us from Christ is ourselves. With our sufferings, we can have our doubts and our worries about God that leads us to possible unbelief that will lead us to no longer cling to Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when we have those sufferings, those doubts and those worries, it's a blessing that God shows us his great love and care for us in this account. This blind man Bartimaeus, with his sufferings and who knows his doubts and worries, even though he's never seen Jesus, he's only heard about him, he clings to Christ to cure him. And we, with our sufferings and who knows all of our doubts and worries, even though we have never seen Jesus and only heard about him, we cling to Christ who cures. The account begins by saying, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." Imagine if you were blind. You can't see a single thing. Life would be difficult. Life would be hard for you. But nowadays, it's a little bit more manageable. The blind have a welfare system that provides for them. The blind can have specially trained dogs who guide them. The blind even have the Braille system that they are able to read. But none of those things existed back in Jesus' day. The blind were completely beggars, clinging on to the possible hope that people would take pity on them and provide for them. And why was this man Bartimaeus blind? Was he born blind? Did he somehow lose his vision later on in life? But in the end, this question of why was he blind almost seems pointless. Who cares? But apparently back in Jesus' day, at least among the disciples, there was this stigma against the blind. We don't see it mentioned in this account. But in another account of Jesus healing a blind man, the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." The disciples thought that it was because of sin that someone was blind. But did you notice what Jesus said? Jesus said it was not because of sin that someone was blind, but that this happened so that the glory of God could be revealed. God allowed that suffering to happen so that he could fulfill that need for that person. As we cling to Christ who cures, we cling to his purpose. Sometimes we have sufferings because of our sins. Maybe we put God to the test, or maybe we live a certain lifestyle that there are natural consequences to that lifestyle. But God doesn't bring sufferings to punish us because of our sins. He brings sufferings to discipline us, to train us. He does it with the sole purpose that he will take care of that need. And when we first hear that, we may think this is a cruel act of God, that he would allow sufferings for the sole purpose that he can take care of it. This isn't a cruel act of God. It's an act of love. Remember when you were little children and your parents were about to do something for you, but you said to your mom and dad, No. I got it. I can do this. And so the parent just steps back and watches as you try to tackle the problem, even though they know full well that you can't do it. An honest bystander could look at that and think the parent was being cruel. The parent's not being cruel. Rather, the parent is allowing this suffering to happen so that the child will see the need to go to his parent for help. As children of God, we cling to Christ and we cling to his purpose. We cling to his promise that all things happen for our good. We cling to him, trusting and believing that he will take care of our suffering, that he has the power to handle it. And that's another thing that we cling to Christ who cures. We cling to his power. Fast forward to the end of this account. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, "What can I do for you?" And he responds, "I want to see." And immediately, just like that, by his power, Jesus healed this man. Immediately, he could see. That's the great power of Jesus. And this same powerful Jesus that Bartimaeus cried out to is the same powerful Jesus that we cry out to. Just think of how powerful our God is and marvel at his power. God the Father created everything that exists in 6 days simply by using his word. Jesus, the Son of God, had the power to heal people immediately through his miracles. God the Holy Spirit powerfully has changed our spiritual lives, that he has turned our dead, cold hearts into living active hearts in faith. Certainly our God, who is this powerful, can cure us of any sufferings that we are going through. But this is where Satan begins to whisper in our ears that leads us to doubt God and his power. That we may begin to wonder, well, if God the Father could create everything in 6 days, why has it taken him years to deal with my sufferings? If Jesus could immediately heal people with his miracles, then why hasn't he immediately healed me of my sufferings? If God the Holy Spirit can powerfully change me spiritually, then why hasn't he powerfully changed my life, taking care of the things that I go through? And maybe it's gotten to the point that whenever you pray to God, you always doubt him. You don't put your full faith in him. And if that's the case, Scripture says, But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, although in our minds we think we have every reason to doubt God and his power, do we really? Haven't we seen the great grace and power of God in our lives? Even when we doubt him and don't put our full trust in him, God still uses his power to take care of us. Haven't we seen that when we do pray to God to help us, that immediately he has, that he doesn't make us suffer for all that long? And even if he doesn't remove and cure us of a suffering in this life, don't we know the promise of God that when he calls us home to heaven, immediately he will remove all sufferings from us forever? We have no reason to doubt God and his great power. And this leads us to say to Jesus, as one man said, Lord, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. And Jesus will. Jesus forgives you for your lack of faith and your doubts. And he continues to encourage us to cling to him who cures, to cling to his power. And the very fact that God loves us so much and that he would use his power to cure us shows his great care for us, which is another thing we cling to. We cling to Christ who cures by clinging to his care. Going back to the middle of this account, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. In this section, where do you see yourself? I think all of us would gravitate to the blind man Bartimaeus, that we're crying out to God to have mercy on us. But how often don't we rather see ourselves as the crowd who rebuked Bartimaeus? How many times have we shown a lack of care for people crying out to help? And they're not crying out for help that we would give them an immediate cure to their sufferings. They're just looking for someone to talk to, someone to listen to them, and we simply don't care. How many times have we had that one person come to us over and over and over again about the same problem, and when they do, we roll our eyes at them. Or when we see their name appear on the phone, instead of rejoicing to talk to them, we rather choose to ignore them. Or maybe we say to them, I'm too busy for you. I have more important things to do than to deal with you. Or maybe we even rebuke them and say, stop complaining. How careless we can be with those who cry out for help. But not so with Jesus. When Jesus heard this man crying out to him, Jesus stopped and he called for the man to be brought to him. What makes this act of love from God so amazing is when you realize the context of this account. It mentions that Jesus was in Jericho. Jericho was only 20-some miles away from Jerusalem. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to complete God's plan of salvation. Very soon, he will suffer and die on the cross. Can you just try to imagine everything that was on Jesus' mind? How he was so busy, how he had the most important thing to do. And yet he stops and asks for this man to be brought to him. Why does he do it? He does it because of his great care. And even though Jesus knew what this man was going to ask him, he still gives Bartimaeus this opportunity to talk to him, to lay down whatever was bothering him before Jesus. And this same Jesus who showed great care for Bartimaeus is the same Jesus that shows that great care for us. Even though Jesus is keeping all of creation in order, even though he is watching over billions upon billions of people, even though he's taking care of the sufferings of countless people, he personally cares for you. I find it interesting that when Jesus normally healed people, we don't know the names of those he healed. But here we see the name of this blind man that Jesus healed. Apply that to yourself. You're not just a number to God. You're not a random person. He knows you by your name. From all eternity when he chose you and when you were baptized, God wrote your name in the book of life. And he said, "This is my child. This is whom I will love. This is whom I will care for." And even though Jesus knows what you're going to pray for, even before you say a single word, he gives you the opportunity to talk to him, to lay whatever is bothering you before him. It's not like when you knock on Jesus' door, he says, "I'm too busy for you. I have more important things to do." He doesn't say, "Stop complaining." He sits down with us, he listens to us, and he says, "My child, I'll take care of this for you." And it's not like you can only go to Jesus one time a day. Whenever and wherever you pray to God, Jesus is there. Cling to the great care of our Lord. Cling to him who cures. But there's one more thing that I want to point out that we cling to Christ for. We cling to his comfort. Right before Jesus healed this man, he said to him, "Your faith has healed you." Literally in the Greek, it says, "Your faith has saved you." Why did his faith save him? Was it because of how great his faith was? Was it because of how faithful he had been in life? Was it because of how long he had been a believer? No. His faith saved him because his faith was in Jesus. Notice that he calls Jesus the Son of David. This phrase, "Son of David," was reserved for the promised Savior, the one who would rule on David's throne forever. That's the one whom Bartimaeus' faith was in. And he was comforted to know by Jesus that his faith in Christ saved him. And this is the great comfort that we cling to as well. If we were saved because of how great our faith was, or how faithful we have been, or how long we have been a believer, none of us would be saved. Because our faith fluctuates. We haven't always been faithful. And even if we've been a Christian almost all of our lives, we were all born in sin and unbelief. But our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in our faith itself. Our faith is in Jesus, the Son of David, our Savior. Our faith is in Christ, who suffered and died for our sins. Our faith is in Jesus, who conquered death by his resurrection, and he lives to care and comfort us. This is the comfort that Christ gives to us, that we are saved because of our faith. And let us forever cling to that comfort that he gives. Cling to Christ who cures. Cling to his purpose. Cling to his power. Cling to his care. And cling to his comfort. Because he has cured us from all of our sins. And he, by his power, will remove sufferings according to his purpose because of his great care for you and for me. Cling to him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.